On this, the first episode of the Travel Fanboy Podcast, I'm going to be talking about the three always-es for budget travelers. This will make sense in a second, I hope. Hey everyone, welcome to the inaugural episode of the Travel Fanboy Podcast. If you have followed me from the Vegas Fanboy Podcast, I appreciate it. If you are new to me and my podcasting prowess, thank you for joining me, and a preemptive, you're welcome. So what is in store for this new, not improved, because you cannot improve perfection show? What are we going to be talking about? Well, before, what was happening was I was just shackled to Vegas, right? And I didn't know how many times I was going to be able to go back to Las Vegas and experience, for some of us, what is our favorite city. So what I wanted to do was branch out, right? I wanted to spread my wings like a little millennial and just fly and experience the world. So basically, it's going to be the same format, same idea, but now I'm going to be talking about things that are just not Las Vegas. So we're going to be talking about, of course, just traveling in general on a budget. We're going to do some city guides. There might be a city guide to Las Vegas. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe it's episode two. But of course, other cities as well. In fact, I've got one coming up about LA. Certainly going to have one about Chicago. One for Detroit. We're going to just go around the globe, or at least the Midwest for now. Of course, there's going to be trip reports from trips that I take. We're going to do some reviews of unique experiences. We're going to look at kind of cool bars, and we're going to have some thematic episodes like, hey, if you were want to take like a self-made mob tour across the country, what cities and what bars would you go to? That's coming up in a few episodes. We're of course going to talk about the points and loyalty kind of field and the different programs that are out there, how to maximize value using those. And just overall talking about different fun experiences you can have in some of the major cities in the U.S. and across the world. But again, I want to thank you for joining me. If you're wondering, like, what do I expect in terms of length for the podcast? Well, for me, I kind of like to get to the point. So most of my shows tend to run anywhere between 15 to about 35 minutes. You know, just long enough to get you through that morning or afternoon commute there. This episode really should be no different. So we might as well just go ahead and get to it. So I'm talking about the three always-es. I'm not 100% sure how to pluralize that. For budget travelers, meaning if you're a budget traveler planning a trip, what are the three things that you pretty much always need to do? Let's start with number three, the third most important thing. Really, these are all kind of interchangeable here. But number three, this phrase I want you to keep in mind, and that is money always matters, right? And I've heard that term used a couple different times. In fact, I know my buddy Eric Rosenthal, who is a points and loyalty program master, we'll probably have to get him on the show. I know I've heard him say it before, but what that means is, no matter what you're doing, the decisions that you're making, we want to make sure that money is always, real dollars, excuse me, are always at play here. And our goal is to maximize the value that we're getting out of our decision making, and that it's kind of equating to us saving real money. It's easy to see mistakes in this in the casino world. Of course, I'm jumping into casinos right away in the first episode, but we see it all the time with people, you know, chasing comps. They are maybe gambling at a higher rate than they can reasonably afford because they're looking to get some sort of comp, right? But really, if they were thinking about it, saying, hey, you know, that buffet is only worth $40. Why are you spending, you know, $10 to $15 more than you usually do per hand or even per session to try and attain that comp when it would actually be more price conducive to just make the outright purchase there? Sometimes we see this with like casino tiers, and people really trying to reach the next tier in a casino loyalty program. But what's happening is they might be spending more money than they otherwise would trying to get that tier. And the perks of that tier might not equate to how much money they spent to get there. So, you know, a question to ask yourself is, am I chasing rewards or loyalty perks that I'll actually never use or be able to kind of get the full value out of? The goal is always, and always will be, save money. That's it. You know, we want to maximize value and save money. Ideally, these work in tandem together all the time perfectly, but not always. You know, sometimes it'll just be a combo of both. And this sounds like kind of an odd thing. Let me kind of give an example really quickly. If you are a Hyatt credit card user, basically with the Hyatt credit card, once a year, they're going to charge you a $75 annual fee, but you get a free award night in a category 1 through 4 hotel. Now, if our goal was only to maximize value, what you would then be doing is only looking to book that award night in a category 4 hotel. Of course, Hyatt, you know, puts its hotels into categories, and for lack of a better term, it's just based on niceness, right? The nicer the property, the higher the category. So people that have an award booking through Hyatt because of their credit card, they're typically always looking to book into a category 4 hotel to kind of get that value there. That didn't happen for me though. For me, I like guarantees. I like saving guaranteed money. I had a trip that I was planning to Anaheim with my wife, and in Anaheim, they didn't have any category 4 hotels in the location that I was looking for. They just weren't there. So here's my dilemma. It's I can book this award night at a Hyatt House in Anaheim, which is a category 3 hotel, or I can pay cash for this Hyatt House, this night that I was going to be staying, which they had available, and then save my award night for potential use in the future. So what did I do? I actually ended up booking the Hyatt House with the award night. Yes, it's a category 3. This might be blasphemy to some people in kind of the points and loyalty world because I did not maximize the value of that reward. But I think it's important for people to establish kind of a value structure of how they're going to kind of be navigating this world, if you will. Because for me, I always like guarantees. And so what I did was I took the idea that I was going to save guaranteed money today instead of hoping to maximize my value later on. I had no actual finalized trip plans yet at the time of this booking for the future. I knew I was taking this trip. I had no idea if I was going to be taking a trip in the future. And even if I did, I would then also have to guarantee that there would be a category 4 Hyatt hotel in the location that I was looking. And that just didn't happen. So I took the guarantee. That's something that I'm willing to do. Again, some people might scoff at this notion that I can't believe you booked a category 3 hotel, but I saved actual dollars today instead of hoping that I could save a little bit more in the future. We're going to explore kind of the point and loyalty world and tips definitely in future episodes. I'm going to acknowledge what, you know, other people are talking about and saying in the space here. And it's not that I disagree with many of them, but I think that, you know, how I navigate this might be different than some. And I think this is an example here. For me, I'm not one of those guys that can just get up and book a vacation on a whim. I think the people who are really maximizing the value of their loyalty points are people that are really flexible. Maybe they don't have children, or maybe their job is such that they can, you know, take off a random Wednesday and book that first class ticket to Bangkok because it was only 2,000 points or whatever. That's just not how I'm able to do it. It's how I suspect a lot of, you know, people with families or who have jobs that they enjoy that, you know, don't have as flexible time off. I would posit that they're kind of in the same boat as me. And so this program in general, this podcast is for people like us, you know, that maybe don't have that flexibility. Maybe we don't travel for business, or, you know, we just, you know, we don't travel as much as we'd like or other people do, but we still want to kind of, you know, save money and be conscious of our spending when we do. So this is kind of who this podcast is for. But that's number 3. Money always matters, and make sure that you're establishing your value structure there. Number two, always sign up for loyalty programs. And, you know, this is, even if your goal is not to climb their tiers, you know, you still, you know, might not even think that you're going to have any long-term loyalty to them. This is still a must that you should do, because you can still get good deals, even if you're at their most basic tier. And even if you don't plan on climbing their structure, even if you've not established loyalty to them before, you know, they might be sending out email campaigns that you're missing. You know, if you're worried about spam and stuff like that, you can do what I do, which is I set up a specific email for this. Well, in fact, it's my podcast email. But before that, I even had a separate email that was dedicated just for travel and those kind of spam purposes there. And, you know, I would check it occasionally just to see if there are any good deals, you know, coming up, you know, if I had a trip kind of on the horizon there. But for a lot of these, you can often just kind of save money. Save time instead of money, which for a lot of us is just as valuable, even if you are kind of a new member. I think one clear-cut case of this is with Budget Rental Car. I'd actually never rented through Budget before a recent trip. And that's, you know, it seems odd because I've rented plenty of rental cars in the past. For some reason, I just never use budget, at least not to beyond the age of like 25 or whatever, when I first, you know, really started kind of getting into this kind of travel stuff. But anyway, on budget, well, what we should first consider is with rental cars, the most arduous process is just kind of getting there, standing in line, and kind of processing all this information. And that's really what takes the most time with rental car companies, is just the processing of your information. They got to check your, you know, your ID to make sure everything's on the up and up, and they've got to check your credit card as well and put that on file for you to rent the car. But with budget and with a couple of these rental car companies, you can do all of that ahead of time, even if you are a new member. So budget has what's called a fast break option. And all you're really doing is you're going online ahead of time, entering in your license information and entering a usable credit card for your reservation, which is something most people don't do. They wait until they get there to do that. So on this recent trip, I walked down to the budget rental car counter. Our hotel was really, really close. And so we dropped our bags off. We stayed one night in the hotel, and then the morning I was going to pick up the car. When I walked to budget, and when I got there, I had gotten there just after the shuttle had gotten there from the airport. So about 15 to 20 people were ahead of me in line. Now that could be a significant problem and be a pretty long wait, especially for most of these rental car companies. And if you look at reviews of rental car companies, that's typically what the number one complaint is how long you have to wait in line. But because I'd gone online, done the fast break option, just put that information in, it took less than 2 minutes for me to get that all set up. What I was able to do is I was able to pass that line and go to another area in the rental car lot, which was their fast break area. It's basically just kind of an open air office, if you will. Went up to the guy who was manning that station, showed him my ID. He checked off my name on an iPad, pointed me to my car. I was in and out of the lot within 2.5 minutes, right? And so I was probably out of that lot in the car on my way back to the hotel to pick up my wife before, you know, the first couple of people in line were even, you know, approaching their rental car to inspect it. And I had never established any loyalty with budget in the past. So be on the lookout for these kinds of opportunities, because that can be a pretty big impediment to a trip, is kind of starting on the wrong foot and, you know, having to wait in line. You know, you just took a long flight. Just no one really wants to do that. But that's one of the benefits to always being signed up for these loyalty programs and just doing a little bit of due diligence and checking them out before you make your final booking. So let's get to number one then. So we got money always matters. Always sign up for loyalty programs. And number one, always be rebooking. I had written a whole post about this on the site. I think this is maybe the easiest way to save significant money with minimal effort. And I think for most people, let's say you don't want to get into the kind of loyalty game. You don't want to mess with travel credit cards. You don't want to jump through any hoops or anything like that. Then this is your strategy. And this is something that you can do. I do not think the booking process for travel should be a set it and forget it notion. And it does not have to take much effort to go through this rebooking process, right? So essentially what happens is when you're booking a hotel and car rental specifically, there are some airlines that allow for kind of more generous rebooking options. Many of them are pretty strict. But so this is primarily relegated to both hotels and car rentals. But when you go through the booking process, what you typically see are two rates. You see a refundable rate and you see a non-refundable rate. And the non-refundable rate, of course, is going to be a little bit lower than the refundable rate. But the problem is, what we should be thinking about is, what are we giving up when we purchase this cheaper non-refundable rate? Well, what's happening is you lose the option of rebooking that room at a lower rate potentially later. You know, you could always call to see if they will change the price, if it has changed significantly, but it's a little bit harder to do, at least from my experience there and from just kind of talking to people about that process there. So just know what you're giving up when you purchase that non-refundable rate. If it's really close to kind of the date of arrival or when you got to take that trip, maybe it's a last second thing, yeah, that's something to potentially consider. But for me, it's very, very rare that I purchase a non-refundable rate, because I'm kind of a junkie for this stuff. I like looking at that. I like kind of the whole planning process, the anticipation of a trip. And I will rebook several times. You can rebook online where you just cancel your reservation, then rebook immediately online. Or sometimes you can just, you know, call the company in question, say, hey, here's what the rate is now. You know, can I change my rate to this? you know, very few, I would say, would be unwilling to do that because they know it's also an easy option for you to just do that yourself online. In fact, I was, I remember, and I apologized to the person on Twitter who reached out to me with this tip, but they were actually on their trip and they rebooked one of the remaining nights of their trip while they were at the hotel. They were already there staying there to the lower rate because they saw it was lower online. Please, you know, call me out if that was you who said that. I just, for some reason, I'm forgetting the name of who it was. But that was one that I had never seen. That was kind of an extreme version of this. But the hotel apparently had no problem doing that because, you know, they kind of understand how that goes. So, yeah, make sure that you're, you know, constantly checking rates. It doesn't have to be that often. Try to make it maybe, you know, once a week before your trip and try different days just to see if, you know, things are maybe it's not going down on a Thursday, but maybe Wednesday is the day. That kind of the budget thing that I was talking about earlier, that was the third time that I had booked a car rental for that trip. And of course, you always have to check the terms and conditions to make sure that they truly are refundable, that you're going to get all your money back. Otherwise, you know, money always matters. It doesn't make that much sense to do. But I had originally booked with budget, and I think for the total for my trip, taxes, fees, everything inclusive, was about $200. I looked the next week, and of course, I wasn't just looking at budget. I was looking at all the other, you know, car rental companies in the area, and it actually dropped down to $170 with a different agency, which is Silver Car. And I like Silver Car. Basically, with Silver Car, all their cars are silver Audi A4s. The checkout process is very easy to do. It's not as fast as it used to be. It used to be they would essentially pick you up kind of right at the terminal there and kind of get you all squared away. Now, for most of them, you got to take a shuttle to their agency and kind of do all that, but it's still a very quick process for them. But I like Silver Car. Typically, it's a little bit more expensive than the other ones, but in this occasion, it actually dropped below budget. So I was like, hey, you know, I'll take a little bit nicer car and pay a little bit less. So it was down to $170, whatever it is. That's worth it for me. I'll take 2 seconds to just rebook this. And then, sure enough, about 3 days before I leave the trip, I check again, and budget was all the way down to, I think, everything inclusive was like $85. Well, that's huge, right? So I then, of course, rebooked. You know, I don't need an Audi A4. I actually booked some economy car with budget. Oddly, they didn't have any left. All they had was like a pickup truck. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm fine. I can drive a truck, whatever. But anyway, so that was a really easy thing for, you know, what was essentially over the course of 3 weeks, about 15 minutes worth of work, I saved well over $100, right? And, you know, that money can really, really add up. And that can be a significant amount of money for people that are looking to travel on kind of a modest budget there. That is, you know, if you're going to Las Vegas, that's maybe, you know, a cheap gambling session, right? Or, you know, if you're going out with your husband or wife, it's a decent meal at a restaurant there, that $100 that, you know, that you can use for something else. Maybe you're going to Disney and it's, you know, you can buy the kids something in the park that you maybe otherwise weren't going to be able to do. So I think if you follow kind of these three rules and establish that value structure there, you know, you can really do a number and start to see some significant savings in your trip. And throughout the kind of remaining episodes, that's what's going to kind of make up the thematic elements of the show is, you know, how do we save money, you know, doing reasonable things where I'm not, you know, having to read every single little loyalty program, fine line and stuff like that and jump through all these hoops or find all these connecting flights. For me, it's just not my thing. I don't begrudge anybody who does that. I think it's awesome. Some people get super, super passionate about it. I'm not doing this high level stuff there. Really what I want to do is I just want to have some fun experiences, drink at some cool bars, save a little bit of money here and there. And so if that's something that you'd like to do as well, then I think this will be a show for you. But that's the first episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know what your feedback is. If you could leave a review on iTunes or any of the podcast listening services that you use, I would sincerely appreciate it. Of course, most of my information can be found at travelfanboy.com. But until next time, safe travels. Be good to each other.